Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's March 14th, 2014. No derailments, Jason. We're going to jump right into things because on Wednesday it was not so much a cliffhanger, but there was a lot of topics and we got down to SRN news and we couldn't fulfill what I wanted to talk about was your bracelet, some more things about Romans, and even the statement, therefore there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, which presupposes there are people in Christ Jesus and people that are not in Christ Jesus. So before we talk maybe a little about that in that wristband, I want to point out there's still time if you're here in the morning edition of Mark and Friends that you can come out to our Genesis study tonight. We'll be meeting at Judah Christian School. We'll start right at 6:30, but generally from 6 to 6:30, there's times for treats and fellowship and conversations. So if you can get there a little early, come to the Judah Christian School. We meet in the downstairs cafeteria in their older building. They have that nice new gymnasium, but park, skip the bear chairs at the door greeting everyone, and be settled in by 6:30. To look at the book of Genesis. We'll be in chapter 2, and it's a lively time of conversation, of learning, of spirit-led dividing God's word as we ponder what would God have us learn about himself and then find points of application so that we can be that fragrance of Christ in a hurting world. So come join us tonight, 6:30, Judah Christian School. No need to call in, but if you need more information or directions, call the station 217-367-7777. Well, on Wednesday, we were talking about Romans. I knew it would ring your bell because you've been studying Romans. You've been preaching on Romans. In fact, I think this Sunday is the last in the series on Romans chapter 8, a favorite of many. So if somebody says, the book of Romans, I love that book. Where do you meet and what time?
Community Evangelical Free Church on Route 47, 10:45 in the morning on Sunday. But 9:30 if you want to come and do a little Christian education. But 10:45 is when we gather, we worship, lift our voices up to the Lord, we learn, and we gather in community to bring glory to God.
And you've been studying the book of Romans, or actually Romans, what, 6, 7, and 8, 7, 8, 9?
Romans 7 and 8. So we began in Romans 7 against my better judgment and God's wisdom and revelation. So we began in 7 because we needed to understand the problem before we got to it. The Reformers call Romans chapter 8 the Christian Declaration. So Calvin, Luther, even as far back as Augustine, that they would say that Romans chapter 8 is the Christian Declaration of Freedom. If there's any place in the New Testament that just declares our freedom in Christ, what Christ has done both past, present, and future, it is Romans chapter 8. And so I believe, this is my presupposition through much prayer and that with the Lord, is that we live, even Christians, even those of you who call yourself Bible-believing, Christ-following Christians right now, I believe that you are living well below your inheritance. I believe that you are existing well below the inheritance that Christ has given to you, that he afforded you in his own bloodshed, in his own sacrifice of himself on your behalf to do battle with sin and to free us from sin, to free us from death through the cross. And so I want us to begin to live in that place. Look, let's just be honest. You're watching the news, you're reading the paper, and you're getting scared. You know, I see it. I got like 700 Christian friends. I see what you post on Facebook, okay? You post all kinds of things about what if this, what if that, oh no this, oh no that. And I have a lot of other Christian friends who don't post any of that, so I'm not picking on any one group. But I want you to know that I see a lot of these posts like, oh my gosh, do you see what they're doing now? Oh my gosh, do you see what they're doing now? And we don't have to worry about that. Those are not the things that we have to worry about. Those are the fleshly things. Those are the things in the flesh that God, by his sovereign hand, has that stuff all taken care of. It's just that right now we don't see it being fixed because we don't see everything. And so we believe it's not being fixed because we don't see it being fixed. You get what I'm saying? And so we have to trust and know. We have to live above that. We have to live in our inheritance, that understanding that God's got it all covered. And that this place right here, that for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, this place here, this is as close to hell as we're ever going to be, and heaven awaits. But there is a whole demographic of people that this is as close to heaven as they will ever be, and hell awaits them. And that, for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who have, as I would say, our spiritual glasses on, we're being led by the Spirit, we're walking by the Spirit. One of the markers, I think, for walking by the Spirit is we see that this world is passing and that there are people who are desperately perishing. And that drives us to share the gospel. It drives us to share the message of who Jesus Christ is. It drives us because we see that reality. Look at people who are not in Christ. They don't realize that they're perishing. They don't realize it. You know, Romans chapter 8 tells us It says in verse 12, it says, then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. And it's interesting that Paul says, look, you're not in debt to the flesh. You're in debt to something else. Why are you in debt to something else? You're in debt to Christ Jesus because he paid a price for you. He bought and he purchased. So you have a debt that direction. You don't have a debt to sin and death. You know why? Because Romans tells us that the wages of sin is death. Sin is paying you. You don't owe sin anything. Sin's actually paying you to be a part of it. Sin's paying you to partner in with it, to join in and to glory in it. By the way, when the Bible says, this is where I think sometimes people have trouble with the Bible, is they read something like that, the wages of sin is death. And they go like, well, I've been sinning all kinds of times and I'm still breathing pretty good. I'm still walking around. Things are wonderful. Everything's okay. I'm not dead. Well, when the Bible says death, it actually means barrenness, unfruitfulness, frustration, a brewing frustration, a brewing anxiety. It's not death like one and done, you're dead, you're in the grave. It is a very slow death, and you get to help write your own obituary, and it is, my friends, a sad story. It is a sad. So when you get done, when your last pen stroke hits, years down the road as you've been serving and living in sin and glorying in it, it's a sad story you've written. Psalm chapter 7 and verse 15 says, it talks about a wicked man, and it says that in his wickedness, he scoops out and digs his own hole. One of the things that we don't understand about that passage, one of the things that the passage implies, I think that we don't think about, is that when we dig a hole out in our lives, the people who are closest to us fall in it too. So as you're writing this obituary of unfruitfulness, this obituary of barrenness, this obituary of living by your own hand and dying at the hands of sin because you love cashing that check, that you're affecting your kids and your wives or your husbands or the people who live and move around you.
And that word picture you just gave, I was thinking that soil that you're taking out, that's being flipped around, that's dirtying and soiling others and causing others to trip on it, you know, whether they fall in the hole or get messed up by it, the residual effect.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. When the verse says, therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, I'm going to be honest with you. That doesn't mean the condemnation still doesn't come and knock at your door. It still does, but you handle it differently. Look at the world as a condemning place. Everywhere you go, no matter what you do, pick up a newspaper, pick up a magazine, go talk to somebody, you're going to find something that's condemning, even if it's something. Look, I can open a magazine and realize, oh, my cell phone is no good. This one's faster. I mean, I can open up a book and go, look at how pretty they are. I'm not that pretty. I can look up, I don't make enough money. Mark even shared prior to the program, he and I were just having a few minutes to talk, and we were just sharing about, you know, sometimes how even the most innocuous of little words that come across our things make us feel insignificant. They make us feel as though we're not doing a good job. We could hear, you're only doing this, and it makes, I'm only doing this. Or, this is too small. Well, maybe I should provide something bigger. I mean, it's just small. I mean, and so there are words that come from everywhere that want to make us feel insignificant, that want us make us feel no good. Condemnation comes no matter if you're in Christ Jesus or not in Christ Jesus. The difference is that when condemnation comes to you when you're in Christ Jesus, Christ goes, Jason, let me take care of this one. And he grabs a hold of it and he goes, this isn't truth. You are much better than this, and I love you, and I've redeemed you from this. Just want to remind you of that thing, because you need reminders, because sometimes you're a little slow and thick. Thank you, Jesus. I am very slow and thick sometimes. Because some of the silliest things, I don't know how many times I've sat with people, sat with myself, and something comes, you know, a sentence comes down the pike, and you grab a hold of it, and you'll spend a whole day going, oh, I can't believe I do that. I can't believe that's me. And then somebody will come along, and they'll go, well, you know, I just want to really just share with you five or six ways that that can't be you. And then they do, and they're all truthful things. And it's not like puppy chow where you get it and you're like, oh, just feed me, make me happy, you know, tell me some platitudes that'll make. No, they share with you cold, hard truths, and you go, oh, yeah, I can't possibly be like that because that's not who I am. I mean, that's not what I am. That's not how I am. Why did I believe that? Because we're wired to accept condemnation. We're wired. Look, when you guys were born, unfortunately, into this world, you were born into the effects of Adam. You already had a bank account that was open so that you could cash your checks on sin and death. You didn't have to go open it. You didn't have to make that decision. It was already open. When you were born, Satan was like, hey, I got the account open. It's a gold standard account, and on Saturdays we have cookies at the bank. Come on and just cash the check, buddy. It's going to be wonderful. And then we learn that we don't have to live that way. We learn that we don't have to live within that reality. But that reality is still there. That's why being in Christ Jesus is so important, because that Christ himself takes us out of Adam and delivers himself to us. He delivers us from the curse. He delivers us. But it doesn't mean we're not still going to do battle. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that Christians make, is they think that just because now they're in Christ Jesus that they've somehow won the war. No, you just now have the reality of understanding how things are going to end. You know that victory awaits. Now, what about the person who's not in Christ Jesus? Well, number one, for those of us who are, we should be driven towards those people. Those spiritual glasses that we wear should drive us towards them, because we see them perishing. Now, what we do for them and how we serve them and love them and share with them and do all those things, it's going to seem like foolishness to them, because the Bible tells us that. That the work that we do will seem like foolishness to those who are perishing. But because it looks like, look at this, this is like one of those things where it just gets you so hepped up, okay? We believe this. I believe this is true, probably for a great percentage of you. Because they view it, those who are perishing view it as foolishness, we feel foolish for doing it. And so we don't do it. Because they go, come on, Jesus, I mean, really? He rose from the dead? Yeah, let me get my tinfoil hat and put it on. I mean, come on, really? And he, what, he went to the cross for me? I mean, come on, he didn't even know my name. That was 2,000 years ago. I've heard all the excuses. Listen, so they make us feel foolish for sharing that, and so we then go, oh, I don't want to share Jesus. And so what do? We actually say it's okay for them to perish. We say, yeah, that's all right. So those of us who are in Christ Jesus and Jesus Christ in us, those of us who have that spiritual glasses on, we see that this world is passing. We see that the things that this world can offer us, the checks that it can pay towards us, are not worth cashing, because eternity awaits and glory awaits. And then we see people who around us who are perishing, who have the opportunity through in their weakness and submission to stand in that place of glory with us. And we should want them to do that. And you, if you're one of those people who are a living, look, Jesus said he came to those who were far and those who were near, and he preached peace and access to the Spirit to all of them. That's a paraphrase of Ephesians chapter 2. I believe it's verse 17. But in that too, he said he knocked down the dividing wall of hostility. He kicked it down himself. He did the work himself on your behalf. He did it for all of us. And if that's you, look, and I'm going to be honest with you, you'll know it's you, because you're processing condemnation differently. Condemnation comes on your plate and you grab a hold of it and you believe it. And so what do then? Look, there's always going to be somebody at your job to tell you you're not working hard enough. And if your response to you're not working hard enough is to go, I guess I'm going to have to put in more hours. I guess I'm going to have to put another 10, 20, 30 hours. I'm going to have to work from home. I mean, I don't know what my family's going to do. But if they want to eat and sleep and they want that big screen TV set, then I guess this is what we're going to have to do. If that's your first reaction, instead of introspectively looking inside and going, you know what, I'm really working hard. I'm really doing the best job that I can do. And it's my company's job to try to get me to work harder, because that's what they do. That's what good capitalists do. But I can't work any harder than I already work doing the great job that I do, because I serve something bigger, which is my family. I cannot rob them. This is not worth this, robbing them for that. And I speak in terms of that because I sit with people when they're dying. Quite a few people dying. And nobody who's dying goes, I wish I could go back to work one more day. I wish that I could. You know what they always tell me? I wish I had more time with my family. I wish I had another couple days to be able to love these people and spend time with them. And I'm just going to tell you, a lot of people tell me how they feel guilty because of the decisions that they made where that was concerned. So you have to understand that there is something powerful that happens. Romans chapter 8, it's a declaration of freedom. It tells us there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because Christ Jesus came to do what we couldn't possibly do. There is somebody listening right now who, it's not working for you. It's not happening. You can't do it. And you're coming to the subtle but slow. Remember, we're slow and thick at times. And I'm in your camp too, so don't worry. Subtly and slowly coming to the realization that we can't do it, that everything we've tried doesn't work, everything we've attempted to do doesn't work, it doesn't work. And what we need is, we need a Savior who in the likeness of sinful flesh came to accomplish what we couldn't accomplish, because he was entirely different from us. But what he came to accomplish, he did on your behalf. He didn't do it because he had to do it, he did it because he wanted to do it. And why did he want to do it? for his glory and for your benefit. And not only did he do that, not only did he accomplish that, but then he sent his Holy Spirit so that, as Romans says, that we wouldn't be mindful of the flesh. We wouldn't have our mind set on the flesh, but instead we'd set our mind on things of the Spirit, and that we wouldn't walk in the flesh, but instead we would walk in the Spirit, that we would allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit. Not only this, listen to me, this is like the Christian crescendo. Remember, this is the declaration of independence. So not only did Christ come in the likeness of sinful flesh to make a way through sin and death for us so that we would be free of these things, but he also then gave us his Spirit so that we would walk by his Spirit, we would be led by his Spirit. And then from there, he tells us that this is the Spirit that raised him from the dead. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody who's been raised from the dead apart from Jesus Christ. So this is probably pretty powerful. But what I think is happening in terms of inheritance is that many of you are living in a 9-volt battery world, and you forget the fact that you've got nuclear reactors humming inside of you. You have got God's Holy Spirit. Before you ever say, I can't, I don't know how I'm going to do this. You're right. You don't know how you're going to do it. You better access that power source. You're right. You don't know how you're going to do it. You probably can't do it. Now access God's Holy Spirit and do more than you can ever imagine having happened. You know, it's funny. We got all these friends who, you know, we're fairly young, 40, I think 42, 41. I don't even know how old I am. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter anymore. So as long as I get cake on my birthday, that's all I care about. I don't know how many candles are on there. Look, we know all these people who have had babies, young people. And every time a woman has a baby, this is what I hear. I don't know how I did that. I don't know how I did that. You did that because it says back in Genesis that you partnered with God in being fruitful and multiplying, that it was God's power at work inside of you that allowed this to be able to happen, and you didn't know how you do it. You're right. You did. You probably, I don't know how you do it apart from God. I don't know how you get through it without like a lot of screaming and a spinal, you know, making that happen. And maybe that, you know, I'm a guy, so right now the women are like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You're right. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't have any ideas. My wife, though, she tells me, she says, I got to grab my bottom lip and pull it up over my head. Yeah. And then maybe I'll know what it feels like. But the idea of it is that we can accomplish so much more when we realize that God's Spirit is at work inside of us. But again, I think we're accessing so little of the power that we have, so little of the power that's been given to us. And the Bible goes on to say, this is crazy stuff. It goes on to say, for all who are led by the Spirit, so we walk by the Spirit, we live by the Spirit, and we're led by the Spirit. For all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. So look at, you were a slave to sin, you were a child of God, and now you've been elevated to a son of God. The world, you're a son of something else. Here, you're a son of God. And then it says this, though, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So you were a slave to sin. You were a child of God. You have been adopted as a son. And then the Bible goes on to say, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we might also be glorified with him. You were a slave to sin. You were a child of God. You were adopted as a son, and you have been elevated to be a co-heir in this thing that God is doing. That's an amazing journey. That's like Little Orphan Annie, where like you start out and you're on the streets and you know how the thing's going to work. And the next thing you know, Daddy Warbucks shows up and you're in the biggest house on the block. Well, you know what? That was done all through Christ's sacrifice. You know, and God has done that on our behalf. And what do? We turn back to God and we repay that by not believing that God's Spirit dwells inside of us. I mean, every time Jesus heals somebody, what does he say to him? He says, your faith has healed you. Your belief has healed you. You blew up your own reality and you thought beyond yourself and you realized that I can do all things. And in that moment, your life was incredibly different. And so the bracelets. I made a comment about what would Jesus do, and I said, that's great, and it's positive, and it's powerful. God used that in a time in this country's life and in people's lives where it had a great impact. But biblically, I have some issues with it because that's imitation, not impartation. We can't imitate those things. We'll struggle with that. We can't do what Jesus did. We just can't. And if you can do what Jesus did, please come see me because I want to see the walking on water thing because I just don't know how that works. But I do.
Let
think,
alone living a sinless life.
I mean, I just want to start with the. I want to start with the real tangible things.
Yeah.
Look, I got a business model. If you can do the water into wine, I've got a business model that we can start up. We'll make millions because I know where there's a lot of water and no wine. But you could take care of that part. But as I was pondering this, what would Jesus do movement, I really came across the fact that, you know, don't we need a reminder for ourselves? What can't I do? So being me, who I am, and my wife would say that, she'd go, yep, being you. On Monday morning after I preached that sermon, I logged on the internet and I ordered bracelets that say, what can't I do? On one side it says, what can't I do? And on the other side it says, Romans chapter 8, live free. And on Sunday morning I'm going to hand them out to everybody. And I got a lot of them because I didn't know it. I got 200 of them free. So I ended up with a lot of these bracelets. So I'm going to hand them out to everybody that I know. Just with the reminder that everywhere that I'm at, whether I'm on the phone, whether I'm at the grocery store, whether what can't I do? And because I think if I ask the question, what can't I do, then the next logical question as a Christian should be, God, what can you do?
I'm thinking about what can't I do, but in a sense, empowered by the Holy Spirit, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Is that like a double entendre? Recognizing we can't do things without Christ, but yet recognizing we can do all things with Christ.
Exactly. It's in my weakness that I can be made strong. That's what Paul says. Paul says, I boast in my weakness because in my weakness I am made strong. Mm-hmm. But you know what? If you're trying, God is a gentleman. If you're trying to be strong in your own strength, God's going to stand back and go, I just want to watch and see how this goes. Because you know what? That's what's going to happen. Because your strength, my strength, it only goes for so long. You think about the busiest week of your life. Think about weeks that have just been nuts. You barely get through it. You barely get through it. You know why? It's because you only have a finite, you don't have a finite amount of strength. There's this little bit of strength. You don't know. You can't do it. I can't do it. We can't do it. But when I realize my inheritance in Christ, I have access to a strength that I otherwise don't know about, that can do, again, the Bible says, immeasurably more than I can know and imagine. And some of us have pretty good imaginations, so that must be really amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm. I just wrote down today's title to the program, which will be archived at greatnewsradio.org. Romans 7 and 8 still ringing our bells. We'll get to Acts next week. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.